During the month of December, every service, we've been opening up a gift from God, and there is another gift under the Christmas tree, and I was just wondering, do any kids want to come up and see what's in the gift? Come on up, let's check it out. All right. Come on up. You guys can sit down if you'd like. I wonder what's in here. Oh boy, oh boy. I bet it's something that I really want. Usually I like to shake presents to maybe guess what's in them, but I don't think I should shake this present. Well, it is too big. What might be in this present? What do you think it is? Oh, I thought you answered it already. Let's see. I think it's something that I've always wanted. It is the card. You can just leave that card there. It is a doll. Do you think I've always wanted a doll? No. Why? Why would I get a doll for Christmas? Oh, I bet I know. I bet the doll is meant to remind us about the baby Jesus, right? Of course. So I'm going to put the doll up here in this cradle, right? Up in the manger, because when Jesus was born, they put him in the manger, right? Now, what would you say that if about 5 minutes from now, suddenly we heard that doll starting to cry? You think that could happen? No. Or maybe you'd start to see the doll's swaddling clothes start to move because the doll was kicking his feet. Do you think that would start to happen? No. That would be impossible. It would be a miracle. Well, God has not promised that miracle, and we're not celebrating a miracle that a doll became a baby. What we're celebrating is an even bigger miracle. The miracle that we're celebrating is that the God who created you, and the God who created me, and the God who created everything in the world, became a little tiny baby. You guys ever seen the movie Aladdin? Some of you have, you know. All the power of the universe! In a little tiny baby. That's impossible. But that's what God has given us. So that's what I want to talk about today. So if you guys want to go back to your seats, and we'll get ready to share the message. Thank you so much. I would invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And if you open up your Bibles to that point, I'm going to ask you to read the last sentence along with me. As you're turning there, just give you a little bit of background. This is a prophecy that God spoke through the prophet Isaiah about 700 years before the birth of our Savior. And he is speaking to the people, especially in the northern part of the promised land in Galilee. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, in the earlier translations, this Hebrew word is translated the shadow of death. It's the same word that's in Psalm 23, where the Good Shepherd promises that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. That's the word here. So this deep darkness, this is the valley of the shadow of death. On those living in the land of the valley of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for fuel, will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Now join with me in this last sentence. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As I think about Christmas gift giving, one of the things that amazes me is that God has given some people this incredible ability to watch people through the course of the whole year and recognize needs that somebody has that they don't even realize. Sometimes when I open up a Christmas present, I look at it and just go, this is exactly what I need. I wasn't thinking I needed this, but somebody knew me well enough to recognize a need that I had before I recognized it. That's what we're celebrating tonight. That God knew what the world needed now. He knew the needs of God's people better than God's people did. If God's people, to whom Isaiah first spoke this prophecy, were asked, what is the one gift that you need? They would have said, we need deliverance from the Assyrians. You see, northern Galilee was the main invasion route for centuries. That's why it's called the land of deep darkness, or the land of the shadow of death. It was the shadow lands. Death always hung over it. If there was an invader, Galilee was always going to get the worst of it. And if they were deciding what gift God should give them, they would have just asked, give us a deliverer from our current enemy, the Empire of Assyria. But if God had given them what they thought they needed, none of us would be here today. And most of us would never, ever know about what happened long, long ago in a Galilee far away. Except some geeks. Not Star Wars geeks, but history geeks. Oh, that would be exciting to us. But who cares? Who cares what happened 2,700 years ago? But God knew that the people in the shadow land of Galilee needed something more. God knew that the shadow land did not just exist in Galilee. that the shadow land exists in our families as well. Just yesterday, in this room, I preached a funeral sermon for a friend of mine, a brother in Christ. The shadow of death is certainly something that I sense, and this man's family experienced. Many of you feel that shadow of death as well. For some of you, Christmas is an incredibly difficult time because you lost somebody right at this time of year. And so every time you come up towards Christmas, it's the shadow land, the shadow of death time. Others of you are like this family, that this is the first Christmas that you're celebrating without somebody that you love. And so there's the shadow over your Christmas celebration. You're in the shadow land. But it's not just death, physical death, that leads me to conclude that the shadow land is not just in Galilee, it's among our own families. There's also the death of relationships. Especially at Christmas time, many of our families, we look at them and go, you know, they're not the happy, perfect families that we see on the commercials. Relationships have died. At this time of year, hopes die. Suicides become more prevalent during the holidays because people feel like they've lost hope. Hope has died, and what's the use of going on? I believe it's not just Galilee that is the shadow land, the land of the shadow of death. I believe we live in the shadow land. And so God promises a gift not just for the shadow land of Galilee, but the shadow land of our families. And this gift brings beginnings and endings. First of all, it brings the beginning of joy. In verse 3 of our text, it says, "You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoiced before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder." Maybe you and I, when we are in the midst of the shadow land, we say, why should we rejoice? It's not because of what we have right now, it's because what we can see coming. It's the beginning of rejoicing because we can see that this gift that God gives us is going to change everything. That this gift gives us the beginning of joy because it brings the end of battle. That's what the next verse brings out. "For as in the day of Midian's defeat," this was a great victory that the Israelites had experienced centuries earlier under Gideon the judge. 300 people defeated an army of over 100,000. "As in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire." What's that talking about? I experienced a great picture of that myself. Not that I had garments stained in blood, I had garments stained in paint. About 25 years ago, when I was serving a mission congregation, we built our first chapel. And of course, we're trying to save money. So when you're doing that, you do all your own painting. So we painted everything in this church. And then we realized that we painted some things the wrong color. And then you paint them all over again. And then you touched up the walls with the wrong kind of finish. Let's paint the whole room again. When we got done painting, you know, the clothes that I wore the same paint clothes day after day after day. I did wash them once in a while. But, you know, I wore them day after day after day. And when we were all done painting that church. It was such a pleasure to take these paint clothes that were covered with stains of paint and throw them away. The painting was done. That's the picture. He's speaking to people who have experienced the battle. The garment stained in blood, and said, there's going to come a day when you get to throw all that stuff away because the battles will be over. No, you and I, by God's grace, have not experienced the kind of battles that the people of Galilee experienced. But you and I experience a very powerful battle, every one of us. If you believe that Jesus is your Savior, if you believe that the child born in Mary is God himself, then you have a battle going on within you. The Apostle Paul talked about that battle in Romans chapter 7, where he says, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, that I do. That there is this war waging within my heart. The new self that God has created, and when he brought us to faith, wants to do God's will, and yet there's still a part of us that is still that selfish, sinful nature. And so there's this battle going on within us. But the prophet speaks in the past tense. The battle's over. Not because the battle is over for you and me, but because it is so certain in God's sight that he speaks of it as past. And when you and I hear about the gift that God gives us at Christmas time, it is a promise that the battle will end and we will be victorious. And what is that gift? That gift that is for the people of the Shadowlands. That gift that is for the people who are tired of the battle and want to start celebrating, that gift is the gift of a child. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. And his names tell us that this child, a little baby, yes, is God himself. It's a child of incredible strength. He is wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful. That name is a name that could only be used of God. In the Old Testament, that Hebrew word that's translated wonderful always refers to things that only God can do. Only God can do wonders. And so if this child is called Wonderful, he is the one who can do wonders, and that's something that only God can do. So this child is God himself. This child is Counselor. A counselor is somebody who listens to you, who understands you, and gives you good advice. But what's frightening about this counselor is if he is this wonderful, then what is he listening to? He's not listening just to what you say. He's listening to the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. And that's a frightening thought. The child who is wonderful knows everything that you have ever thought. He is listening. Uh-oh. And then he's called Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. The word mighty is the same words that's used for a warrior. A mighty warrior. He is the warrior God. So he is the wonderful, the counselor who knows everything about you, and he is the warrior who will fight. And that sounds terrifying until you hear that next name. He's the everlasting Father. Now, if God has blessed you with an earthly father who is faithfully seeking to do God's will, then you understand that a father is somebody who loves you unconditionally. A father is someone who puts your needs before his own. And so this child will treat us as his dear children. He will be a father to us. He will love us unconditionally, and he will sacrifice himself for us. And so he is wonderful. He's God himself. He's the counselor who knows everything about you and me. He is the one who's going to go fight. But what's he going to fight? He's not going to fight against us, but he's going to fight for us because he's the everlasting Father. And his battle brings about peace. He is the Prince of Peace. I love that word peace. In Hebrew, it's shalom. Shalom in a couple of different places in the Old Testament is translated, everything is all right. I love that translation. He is the Prince of everything is all right. He speaks to people like us who are in the shadowlands, who experience death, physical death, deaths of relationships, deaths of hope. He speaks to people like us who are in the midst of the battle and who mourn the fact that over and over again that sinful nature has gotten the best of us. We've said things, we've done things that we wish we wouldn't have. And he says, everything is all right. Because he is the God who knows everything about you and went to battle for you. And he brought about peace by, as God, suffering in your place. As God, living the perfect life that you couldn't offer to God. Taking the guilt that you couldn't bear upon himself. He is the God of strength. The child who is God himself. And he is the child of responsibility. It says the government will be on his shoulders. So often we go through life thinking that the weight of the world is on our shoulders. No, you and I don't have the strength. You and I are not wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You and I don't have the strength to carry the responsibility of the world. You and I don't have the strength to carry the responsibility for our own sin and guilt. But the increase of his government, he takes that on himself. He takes on that responsibility, both of your guilt before God and of controlling the world for the sake of the people that he loves. The last verse says, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This is the guarantee about this child. I have a question on the back of the worship folder. It's the question, you know, that whole idea of zeal. Should it start with a Z or should it start with a J? It's the same Hebrew word. Is God jealous or is he zealous? And the answer is both. He is a jealous God. He is a God who knows that there is no way that you and I can have peace with God. There is no way that you and I can have a hope that we are going to live and reign with him forever. There is no way that you and I can truly enjoy peace in the shadow land unless we recognize that that child in the manger is God himself. And so he is jealous when he sees us putting our trust in ourselves or in something or in anyone else. He is jealous for us because he knows that only a relationship with him will give us what we need. And he is zealous in the sense that he will do anything that is necessary to keep us his own. Why do you think it is that he has us live in the shadow land? Why do you think it is that you and I suffer these defeats in battle to our sinful nature over and over again. Why, if he is the Almighty God, doesn't he always give us the victory? It's because it's in the defeat, in the shadow of death, that we recognize we can't carry the weight of the world on our own shoulders. And we need somebody stronger. He is so zealous for us that he will do anything that is necessary so that he can claim us as his children for eternity. The zeal of the Lord Almighty is God's guarantee. You see, the only question on this Christmas night is whether we believe it or not. There's no question that the child is the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There is no question that he can rescue us from the shadow of death. There is no question that he has won the battle against our guilt and our sin. The only question is, do we believe it? The only question is, will we hold on to that gift that God gives? And that's why I have a favor to ask of you. And that favor is to spend the next week considering the gift that God has given you. Now, to do that, you'll need a Bible. And if you don't have a Bible sitting next to your bed that you can open up at before you go to sleep, or if you don't have a Bible next to the place where you drink your first cup of coffee in the morning, or if you take a break at work and there's time that you could just open up a book, if you don't have a Bible there at work that you could open up, can I ask a favor of you? Would you just take one of the Bibles from the pew and take it along home with you? There's nothing better that we could do for you. Because I want every one of us to claim the gift that God gives us tonight. And that's not a once-and-done thing. It's something that we have to do every day to grow in our faith. And so on the back of the worship folder, I suggest 5 lessons you can start tomorrow. And just read the Christmas story. And then join us next week as we continue to open up that gift that God has given us and appreciate that the zeal of the Lord Almighty, his passion for you and for me, will accomplish our salvation. The zeal of the Lord Almighty is our guarantee. Amen. Please stand. Jesus, God himself, was loving us from the manger. With joy and gratitude for this ultimate gift, let us praise the Lord. Congregation may be seated. As the offering is gathered, I would encourage you to please fill out the